So you're going to start Hilchos Mezuzah. Once again, Hilchos Mezuzah is, like we just saw this morning, Ramban. Hilchos Mezuzah is one of the great intersections, very obvious intersections of Halacha and Emunah. It is, as Ramban pointed out at the end of Parshas Bo, it is the mitzvah, one of the times when we take our Emunah and make it literally palpable, literally tangible. Words of Chumash that lay out so many of the Ikari Emunah in terms of Achdus HaBorei and the ability to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avas Hashem, and the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has expectations of us, and that there are consequences, both positive and otherwise, mitzvahs, Averas, Schar V'Yonash, so the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, other key mitzvahs, mezuzah is so much, and it's a mitzvah that applies all the time, in the sense that we rarely do it b'masa, but the ma'isa mitzvah happens very rarely. But the kiyum mitzvah lasts for years and years and years and years and years. You're going to put up once, and then it sits there for many, many years. Which at the same time means it's a mitzvah sometimes we lose focus on, we don't think about it as much. But at the same time, to do it right, even just in terms of the dinim, putting up right, you do it once, and it's good, well, and it'll last for many years. It's incredibly important to do it right the first time. Mechaber, as a matter of fact, says, take a look right here in the packet, Simon Reish, hey, mezuzah is one of those mitzvahs where there's an short introductory simon. Shabbat begins with an introductory simon, how important and valuable this mitzvah is. Take a look, please. Reish, pei, hey. After the pages of Gemara. By all means, go ahead. It should be pretty easy. Masechah Hilchos Mezuzah appears primarily in Masechah Yuma and Masechah Menachos in the Talmud Bavli. Talmud Yerushalmi appears primarily in the Megillah. The Talmud Bavli appears in Masechah Yuma, as you see here, Yud Aleph Q Beis, and Masechah Menachos, Lamed Beis to Lamed Dalet. I put in also Mem Dalet Amud Aleph and Menachos, an important tosis there. And right after those Amudim of Gemara, here you come to Shulchan Aruch. Hilchos Mezuzah, page Kuf Zayin, in the Shulchan Aruch, in Reish Pei Hei. And he starts right away, Shulchan Aruch begins, again, a short and introductory siman. Mitzvah Saseh Lechtol Parashat Shema Bayom Shaboa, Ulekav Amal Mezuzah HaPesach. There is a Mitzvah Saseh in the Torah to write those two paragraphs, the paragraph of Shema Bahafta and the paragraph of Shaboa, write them and attach that written version to mezuzas ha-pesach, to the mezuzah of the Doran. A technical point about language and terminology. Mezuzas ha-pesach. That's because the word mezuzah is a little bit ambiguous. In the Chumash, like in this week's parsha, as well as in Tassana and Ekim, the word mezuzah means doorpost. That this item is not called a mezuzah. What we attach, he said, put up a mezuzah. In biblical Hebrew, mezuzah is the actual doorpost. And this, what we call the mezuzah, in biblical Hebrew, is what's put al ha-mezuzah. It's a cloth, it's a sefer, however you want to refer to it. But in Mishnaic Hebrew, Rabbinic Hebrew, the word mezuzah means typically the parchment, or the parchment with its case. With the way we say, you put up a mezuzah. But you put up a mezuzah on the mezuzah. But that gets a little confusing. That's why Shulchan Aruch will often, and other posts will often, they want to clarify which one they mean. They're talking about mezuzahs ha-klaf, the parchment mezuzah, what we call usually a mezuzah, versus mezuzahs ha-pesach, the mezuzah of the doorway, meaning the doorpost, the actual architectural doorpost. That's why he said, we have a mitzvah say in a Torah to write these two paragraphs, ulakava ma mezuzah ha-pesach, and to install that writing, to attach it to the doorpost. And he says, it's Sarat Mizar Bamoed. You've got to be incredibly careful. Lays it out right away. Quoting what? That if you keep the mitzvah mezuzah seriously, it can generate a rechitz yamim. So the shach right away, oz beis, sifkat and beis on the top left corner, yarichu yamim, where did that come from? The chzev. L'man yiri mechem vei mechem. That That's what Chumash says. Put mezuzah. The very next pasuk is ribui yamim. Okay, so that's the opener. That's the opener. Okay. And then, so that we understand how why that's here, and I should, before we read any further, this is an appropriate beginning, appropriate introduction to mitzvah mezuzah. There is a mitzvah, a very basic thumbnail definition of the mitzvah, and you should know that this is an incredibly important mitzvah. And let me just sketch for you where we're going afterwards, and then we'll look at what's to come here. Over the next 6 simanim, the total of 7 simanim in Hilchos Mezuzah. So the next 6 simanim are going to take us through more or less a chronological, conceptually chronological approach to mezuzah. Resh Pei Vav and Resh Pei Zayin, the next 2 simanim, will pick up with, well, do you have to put mezuzah or not? How I decide? What type of room? What type of bias and what type of Pesach? What does the room need and what does the doorway need in order to be chayv mezuzah? So we're going to talk about different structural issues, how the doorway is constructed, how the doorway is used. We're talking about how the room is used, the function and structure of the room. Okay. So that's Resh Pei Vav, Resh Pei Zayin. Once you've figured out that you're actually chayv mezuzah, that's the first stage. Am I chayiv? Step number 2 is, if I'm chayiv, how do I go about putting up a mezuzah? Which Reish Pei Ches and a little bit of Reish Tzad will be about how to write the klaf. That's really more for the sofer. And then Reish Pei Tes is how to put it up, how to install it, which is the part that's relevant for every Jew. And then, so again, stage 1 is, am I chayiv? Where in the house am I chayiv, if at all? Stage 2 is how to actually go about doing the Maaseh Mitzvah, writing it in Resh Pei Ches, which we're going to go into largely, we're going to see very little of, and how to put it up, Resh Pei Ches, which is extremely important. As a matter of fact, we're actually going to, right after Resh Pei Hei, we're going to move straight to Resh Pei Ches to put up the mezuzah, and then we'll move back to the rest. And then finally, step 3 of Hilchos Mezuzah, Resh Tzadi Aleph, is ongoing maintenance and other details. So checking it, and then taking it down, and things of that sort. Again, am I chayiv? How to write and put it up? And then ongoing issues. That's the layout of the rest of Hilchos Mezuzah. This, Resh Pei Hei, is the opening introductory sif. Okay, so far what we saw, we understand. We'll come back to the Ramah in a moment. But first, the next line of the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan goes on to say, Nisinasa siv beis, Resh Pei Hei, siv beis, Nisinasa betefach achitzon. You have to put the mezuzah on the outermost tefach of the door. In terms of where you put it up, so one of the issues is how high, we'll talk about that, how high or low. One of the issues is which side, right versus left, and how you figure that out. I said, those so far, it's two dimensions, the height, the width, so to speak, and which side. And the third dimension is the depth of the doorway. Does it matter if it's here or here or here or here? And this is a very narrow doorway. Sometimes you can have a beautiful, thicker wall between living room and dining room. It could be a 7-inch deep doorway. Does it matter you center it? Well, it's pretty. Is that appropriate? So Shulchan Aruch says here, actually, it's not. If it's a 7-inch deep doorway, to put it at the midpoint might be beyond the first tefach. Shulchan Aruch says it has to be in the first tefach going in. And you look at that line of Shulchan Aruch and you ask yourself, what question?
Why
what?
Who cares where it is on the door?
Number one, why does it matter? But even more than that, yeah, why is it here? As the Shach himself writes, take a look in the Shach, Oz Gimel, Sivkan Gimel, the tefach achitzon, he writes, Ayin lekaman, Ayin laman is Ayin lekaman. See later. Simon Reish Pei Tes of Beis. Simon Reish Pei Tes, as I said, the simon about how to put mezuzah. So one of the major issues is figuring out where's the right location. So we'll get to it. It's a detail, a very important detail. We're going to have to talk about it. It's extremely important. But there are many important details in Hilchos Mezuzah that we're not up to them yet. Why, of all the details in mezuzah, does the Nisinasa Betefach Achitzon, that has to appear in as an introduction. How is that an introduction? It's an important thing.
Wait, what does that literally mean?
That you have to, Nisinasa Betefach Achitzon means that when you install the mezuzah on the doorway, it has to be, it can't necessarily be centered, it has to be in the first tefach of the depth as you walk in. So if the doorway is less than two tefachim wide, as most doorways are, you're fine. But if it's a deep door, a deep, deep doorway, so it must be in the first 3-4 inches going in. The first tefach. Walking in, right? On the right side, walking in, first tefach as you walk in. So we understand, we'll get to it. As a matter of fact, Shach doesn't want to talk about it. He says, we'll get to Reish Beites, I'll discuss it. I'm not going to talk about it now. Which just begs the question, why is Shulchan Aruch talking about it now? Why is Shulchan Aruch talking about it now? So, the truth is, that the Ramah, you could look back in the Gemara, or you could look to the Ramah. Because the Ramah here gives you a hint as to what's driving Shulchan Aruch to put this din here. It's not because we need to know the details right now of mezuzah installation, we'll get to that. Then look at the Ramah Sif Beis. I know we haven't dealt with the Ramah Sif Aleph, but we'll come back to that as well. This Ramah Sif Beis will help us understand what the Shulchan Aruch was driving at. Yesh Omrin. He writes, Kisha'adam Yotzeim in Abayis Yaniach Yadon HaMezuzah. Baruch writes, the Jew leaves his home, still have the practice to touch the mezuzah on the way out. The Yomar Hashem Yishmor Tzeisi Uvoli. Hashem Yishmor Tzeisi Kavlachem Yatam at home. The King Kishikana said to Abayis Yaniach HaMezuzah. Rama says, say if that's what you do when you leave the house, if you can walk into the house also, you touch the mezuzah on the way in and the way out. And what does that accomplish? What does that come from? And where does this come from? So the Bir Agra, you see the hey in the bracket and hey, the Bir Agra tells you on the bottom, Avodah Zara, Avodah Kochavim, Yudala, Al. Daf Yav, Hamal, Besef, Avodah Zara. What appears Daf Yav, Hamal, Besef, Avodah Zara? The story of Akila Sager. This non-Jew, a member of the imperial family in Rome, ends up in Eretz Yisrael, find, discovers Yadus, is very taken by it, and this member of the Roman aristocracy converts to Yadus. Gemara tells that they know where he is. He had gone to, apparently, to travel, explore the world. It's discovered that he had converted to Yadus, and there was an imperial order to bring him back. And the problem was that the first group of soldiers they send knock on the door. They say, hi, how are you? Oh, we're here to take care. Sure, let's come in, give you a drink. He starts schmoozing with them, and he soon convinces them to, yes, join his, I believe the Gemara refers to him as Akila Sager, join his way of thinking. And then another group, they quickly realize, let the soldiers who come to pick him up talk to him. He's just going to, he'll present to them the beauty of Yadus, and they're going to want to stay with him rather than bringing him back to Rome. So ultimately, a group is sent with strict instructions. You can't talk to him. No conversation. Don't talk to him. Nothing. Okay? So they show up knocking the door. He's like, oh, hi, how are you? Well, it's like they're putting him away. And they're not really talking to him. As they're dragging him out the door, he taps the mezuzah. So that got their curiosity. What was that? He says, well, now that he has them, he says, you're soldiers, right? You're soldiers of you work for the emperor, right? You have allegiance to the emperor. Tell me, did it ever happen that he takes care of you? Like, you could be cozy inside and he'll stand guard for you? Like, well, most bizarre idea in the world. He says, well, that's what Rebbe Shlom does. And that's symbolized by this mezuzah. They're taken by that idea. Gemara says after that they decided, we'll cut bait. We'll just leave well enough alone. We'll cut our losses. Leave him there. It's not going to help to send more troops to try to bring him back. So Vilna Gaon says that Gemara. That's if you look back, that Gemara is the source for this minhag of touching the mezuzah. Now, Akilas HaGer touched the mezuzah in a very particular circumstance. He was trying to start communication with these soldiers who refused to, under a gag order. Most of us, I hope, when we leave our houses, are not in that sort of predicament. But
But what is true of what the general idea that you see from that Gemara is what is that touching mezuzah, it could be a way of so to speak metaphorically getting in touch with the ideas of mezuzah. Number one, with the shmira of the mezuzah, which is what Achilles was describing to the soldiers, and is the one of the explanation part of the explanation that Gemara gives for this idea of tefach achitzon. Gemara in Daf Lamed Gimel Menacha says, and we'll get to it in greater detail when we get to Resh Pei Tes, and we're learning the din officially. Like this, we'll take we'll follow the Shach's example. We'll wait to be ma'ayin to this din until we get to Resh Pei Tes. But part of what the Gemara explains about it is you want to have it as far, the mezuzah as far out as possible, so you're including as much of the house is under this shmira as possible. Almost as though, like the touch of mezuzah, in modern terms, almost like symbolic of touching the alarm pad, the keypad of the alarm, the way out of the house. Like you're activating the shmira. Kadosh Baruch Hu will be shomer whether we're cognizant or not, but it enables us to be cognizant about Kadosh Baruch Hu's shmira. That's given expression by the mezuzah. That's one aspect. Presumably the other aspect is what the Rambam writes, the very end of Hilchos Mezuzah. Hilchos Mezuzah and Rambam are two prakim, Perek Hei and Perek Vav. Some of you look quizzically, if the two prakim should be Aleph and Beis. But no, Rambam's rule, self-imposed rule, probably based on a line the Gemara has in Maseches Bava Basra, talking about Sifrei Tanakh and Treyasar, is you don't have a unit that's too small. If it's too small, gets lost. The Rambam's self-imposed rule was to never have a section of Mishnah Torah less than three prakim long. So anything that's one or two prakim will get attached to something else. We spoke earlier in the year, Megillah, Chanukah, each are two prakim, so you put them together. Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah. Aleph and Beis is Megillah, Gimel and Dal is Chanukah. So here as well, Hilchos Mezuzah is only two prakim's worth of material. He was not a believer in just making things longer. He wasn't just going to make it into three prakim. Instead, he said, I'll combine it with tefillin and sefer Torah. So you have a combined section that's 10 prakim long. Prakim al through dalid are hilchas tefillin, hey and vav are mezuzah, and then zayin, ches, tes, and yud are hilchas sefer Torah. So hilchas mezuzah begins parak hey, ends parak vav. The very last halacha in parak vav, Rambam writes, consider this amazing mitzvah, borei. He says, such a simple mitzvah. And yet, every time when you put mezuzah in your door, says Rambam, every time you walk through it, what can be more banal than that? What can be more mundane than just walking places? You walk by a doorway, all of a sudden that's transformed into an opportunity, says the Rambam, to come to contact with all the great ideas of Yadas. He's pogeya b'yichud Hashem, he's walking by. All of a sudden, by having mezuzah in the doorway, walking through is a you come face to face with the existence of one God, who loves us, who we have the chiyuv to reciprocally love back, and that their expectations, and it says that's going to transform you. You'll immediately, says Rambam, walk on a straighter path. What does that mean? I think it means if 1 out of 10 times you walk by a mezuzah, you would touch the mezuzah, and 1 out of 10 times you touch the mezuzah, that would inspire you to actually think for a couple of moments of what it says in the mezuzah, that there's a God who knows, I'm talking to Rabban this morning, who knows and cares and has expectations of me and is rooting for me and wants me to be the best me that I could be and has high expectations. Tarek Mitzvahs. 1% of the time I walk through a doorway, I would think about that. It would have a massive impact on who I am. The Mela, I'm just going to end up over time. That's going to have extraordinary impact in doing the right thing. So that is Nisinas Tepetet Achitam. In other words, the mezuzah speaks to incredibly important things, both to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in our lives, the Shmira, and in terms of reciprocally, Emuna, Ava, all the mitzvos, Temidios, they're supposed to shape us in the way we constantly are supposed to be involved with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His will for us. A simple posh mitzvah, but if you reach out and touch it literally and more importantly figuratively, again and again and again, that could be transformative in terms of Kadosh Baruch Hu being in the absolute center of our lives. This is Now we begin to appreciate. And now, again, as I said before, that the Sif Beis, it seems so out of place. One of so many, tens of details, hundreds of details, why is it here? No. It's here, not, we'll get to the Dinim later, but it's here to bring to the fore how powerful and fundamental this mitzvah is. Okay. So the mitzvah speaks to Merkava and Bereshis, speaks to how HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us, how we're supposed to relate and grow towards Ribono Shel'Olam. And now, let's turn our attention for the next couple of moments to the Ra'ma in Sif Al. Having set the stage, it's incredibly important mitzvah, Ra'ma says, but there are limits. Very fascinating. Mikol makom, he says, Ra'ma in Sif Aleph, in Ein Yadol Masekes, here in the Ksavrashi, the Knos Mitzvah Muzah, despite the fact that this is so important, but still, there are limits. Let's say a Jew can't afford mezuzah. He can't afford. Now, let's say he can't afford both tefillin and mezuzah. You go to the sofer, and you say, I have a shopping list for you. I need to buy tefillin, I need to buy mezuzah. And I can't afford both. So how do you prioritize? No. You feel really, really strapped for money. Ways that it's hard for us typically in early 21st century Northeastern America to think about that degree of poverty. Mamash, I can't afford both. So what do you do? So if you have to triage, yikna tefillin velo mezuzah. Ramah quotes that tefillin takes priority, A, and B, he gives a reason. Why? The mitzvah shechovas haguf adifa. You know why tefillin takes priority? Because it's a chovas haguf. Sounds like because something I do is actually on my body. I'm going to attach the tefillin, the amunah, to my head, to my arm. That's even more important than putting it on the house. Putting it on the house is also important, but putting mamash on me, directly, personally, that's the most important. Now, Rabbi Kiva Eger, you see an unusually longer Rabbi Kiva Eger right here, who says that he's not so sure about that. And there's a Be'er Hagra, who says he's not so sure about that. Be'er Hagra points out that the Yerushalmi seems to debate this. And Biragar points out, number one, he's not so sure that the Ramah's conclusion is correct. It's open to debate as to whether it's really true that tefillin take precedence. Maybe mezuzah should take precedence. And he says, even if tefillin do take precedence, it doesn't sound like the reason is because of chovas haguf. So we're going to pick up with that Bili Neder next week. We'll pick up with this Ramah and the discussion that the Achronim have about that. And then, as I said, we're going to jump from there first to Reish Peites, the most relevant dinim in terms of how you go about putting up a mezuzah, where and how, and brachas, and how high, how low, and so on and so forth. Then we'll go back to Reish Bevav and go more or less straight. A marvelous afternoon, Rabbi Hussein.